Yes, Jesus, where it's impossible with man, all things are possible with you. You're unstoppable. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Before the lion and the lamb, oh,
are the Lion and the Lamb, Lion of Judah. You're the Lion and the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, that you're fighting our battles, that you go before us. You fight our battles because you love us, Lord. You love us, Lord. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. You fight all of our battles. All of our battles you fight. We just need to give them to you. You can't fight them if we hang on to them. We're not meant to fight them. So, Jesus, we hand them to you. We do that this morning. We hand them to you. Fighting all of the voices, everything. We give them to you, Jesus, right now. And we worship you. We praise you, Jesus. Church, just worship him. Just lift his name. Yeah. We want you to be glorified this morning, Jesus.
Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am. Cause I need to know. Oh, and you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when
you, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are yours. We are yours. And you are mine. You are ours. We belong to you and you to us. Thank you, Jesus.
Seems to hide it.
us. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Thank you, Jesus, that we are strong in you. Oh, God, you are good.
Thank you.
Is it just me, or does it feel fresher in here this morning? I don't know. Maybe it's that the air doesn't hurt your face when you walk outside. Amen. But also, I just feel like a new oxygen in the room. You know, Tammy and I never talk before service. Like, I don't say, what's on your heart, what's on yours, what should we do? But every time I walk at the back, I sit there, I get something specific, and then Tammy just says it. So there's no point in me even coming up, to be honest. I'm kidding, but it's amazing because
thank you, Jesus.
God just works that way,
yes.
You know? It's not up to us. And what I had this morning was that it's his presence, the same, but it's his presence that puts everything into the right perspective.
Right. Yes.
Where things can feel cloudy, things can feel confusing, things can feel heavy, and then when he comes in, when we feel his presence, all of a sudden everything seems to be in the right perspective. The big things get smaller and he gets bigger. It solves every problem. Let's pray. God, we thank you for another beautiful morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for this church family. Thank you for our lives and for each of our journeys, for everyone in this room, that you've drawn them to yourself, that you've written their story. And all of them look different, but they're all beautiful in their own way. And would this morning be another page in that book, that you would speak to us, soften our hearts, open our eyes, give us revelation, and show us another part of your heart. And we we just open ourselves up and give you an invitation into our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, you may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone? Normally I can see you a little better. All right, let's take up offering this morning as well. God, we thank you for your provision. You know what we need. You know our desires. You know every need in our lives, individually, in our family lives, and in our corporate life, you know. And so we give back to you this morning. And we trust you with our own lives and with this family. Amen. Thanks, guys. All right. Just have a few announcements this morning before we get rolling. I actually have quite a few things coming up, so buckle your seatbelts. I've never said that before. It felt weird. Probably not going to use it again. Anyway, not that when you say it, it's bad. I'm just saying it's not for me. Anyway, let's keep going. All right. So these belong cards are all around the room. If you're new with us this morning, thank you for joining us. If you can fill one of those out, it's just an easy way for us to get to know who you are and help you get plugged into the life of church here. So please do so. You can drop those just around the corner in the box, and we have a gift for you as well. So please do so. All right. So today is the deadline for registration for Youth Conference. It is 2 weekends from now, 12 days. There's about 30 of us going at the moment, which I'm excited about, but we have lots of spots available still. And so if you haven't finished registering, it's $60. Students grade 7 to 12 are welcome, so make sure you get that done. There's extra forms and all that goodness out on the table, and I'll be back there as well to make sure everything's rolling smoothly. So let's get that done today. February 9th, which is that same weekend, the day after Youth Unlimited, Dan and Colton will be speaking here, and right after service, we're going to be having a taco in a bag or on a plate fundraiser and talking Youth Unlimited and missions trips and Life 360 and all the amazing stuff that's happening at Timber Incline. And so please stay after service if you can for that and join us. It's going to be an awesome Sunday. And I've heard some of the things that are up their sleeve, and it's going to be real good. I'm excited. So please join us February the 9th. There we go. Ladies game night is on the 11th at 7. That is here. And so there'll be games and fun times. You know how that goes. So ladies, please join us for that. All right. Take out your calendars. Those of you who normally come to the AGM, Annual General Meeting, we have the date for it set. And so it's here in the evening of February the 18th. That's what I have anyway, so 6:30 here, so join us for that. We're going to be talking about everything that's happening in the life of the church, you know, voting on all the new things, all that fun stuff that you guys love in terms of formal meetings. But make sure that you mark that down. And then we also have the date for the baptism coming up as well. Yeah. So that's going to be February the 23rd, which is the following Sunday. I know we've got so many things coming up. But if you've wanted to get baptized, it's been something that you've wanted to do, or it's on your heart, or you have questions, please talk to Pastor Todd or myself, and we can chat about that. That is all I have. Splash.
Good. Splash. Good morning. One more time with a shout. Good morning. Good, good, good. Starting a new series today, and it'll go for as long as Jesus wants it, and it's called When the Storm Comes. I should have like sound effects, like
When the Storm Comes.
And you know, that conjures up so much imagery. You know, I was told I can't pick on Tammy anymore. It's not. Just one more time. I'll just sneak in a little tiny one. You know, no, she never does this, but you watch those shows, those storm chaser shows, these people that just go, like, actually, it's me, yeah. You know, they'll just, right beside this tornado or this hurricane, and they're got their camera on, and they're got their van, and they're going right along a tornado, and it's like the biggest thing is how close can I get without being swirled up and thrown 500 feet in the air. Let's do it. ambulance chasers, storm chasers. That is not me, I must confess. One thing I do have to confess, though, I do check the weather network 3 times a day. It's not good, I confess. And just pray for my deliverance and my healing. That would be fantastic. When the storms come. Strong emphasis on the word when. I got good news and I got bad news. The storm will come. It's not just death and taxes that are certain. It's also storms. They're absolutely certain. They're inevitable this side of heaven. We're going to be talking about that lots more next week. No one can avoid them. Now, here's the thing. You got to get this. It's not on here. It's not on a bullet, but you've got to get this. No one can avoid them. It's always more about discerning where they come from. Listen to me. Discerning where they come from, because that's how you deal with them. Well, it will indeed depend on that. Knowing where they come from shows you. Write that down. Knowing where they come from shows you how to deal with them. It's huge. 3 or 4 week series. Knowing where they come from shows you how to deal with them. Storms typically come from 3 places. Probably come from a lot of places, but I want to simplistically generalize them down to 3. And you would know this full well. You will be surprised when you navigate in this series. You're going to be surprised by 1 of the 3 at least, and you're going to be thrown. But you know what? Storms do come from God. You know, you talked about the oxygen in the room. I just put the oxygen out of the room. Hallelujah. Storms do come from God. Storms come from the devil. Everyone would say amen to that one. And storms also come from life. This morning, what we're going to do, though, is we're going to look first and foremost. It really has to set the stage for everything else. We're going to set the stage for today, and that is storms that are coming from God. Definitely takes a lot more qualifying, so I do want to take some time in that before you make a judgment call, before you, the oxygen is coming back. I can sense the oxygen already coming back in the room. Takes a lot of qualifying and lots of explaining, so let's proceed. How about we do that? Let's do that together. Storms from God. And 27 people in this room are like, what? Storms from God? Can't be storms from God. Doesn't he only send angel dust and rainbows? Sweet God gives us rainbows and dust of angels. I was going to say unicorn doo-doo, but then I thought that's probably not a good thing. Just we'll stick with angels and we'll stick with unicorns. And that's in your mind now. You can't get it out. Sorry. It's a humorous sentiment, but it comes from one of the dangerous misconceptions and about God. And that's probably vast majority of this morning is talking about the misconceptions about God. The first misconception is exactly that. Sometimes people think that God is this helplessly sweet, almost fumbly old rich uncle, handing out candy and $5 bills to all the children. Not exactly sure if he has a belly full of jelly and if he has a white beard or not. But the problem is he is left as unnecessary, undiscerning, and ultimately only can meet superficial needs. And that is not our God. Somebody say amen. Not our God. The second one, equally as dangerous. He is this strict, mean army sergeant, barking out orders to recipients never able to meet the barrage of expectation. That is not our God. Thank you, Stefan. Thank you for that, brother. Hallelujah. I just felt more oxygen got in the room. That is not our God. And everybody said amen. Now, both are very wrong. Both are very dangerous. You have to be careful when you go down either one of those roads because there's obvious misrepresentations and misconceptions. Now, It begs the question. Number one, looking at number one, it begs the question. Why do people have this God-light version? Why do people have the God-light version? Not in this room, of course. Is it poor teaching? Possibly. Not going to get it here. Is it coping from the opposite extreme where abuse has been the norm? Possibly. Oftentimes, it's just not wanting someone else to run our lives. We're good. A distant, irrelevant God so that I can run the show. Now, number two is this. The traumatized and the misinformed blame God for everything. Every storm. It's interesting. You got two kinds of people. The ones that blame the devil for everything or those that blame God for everything. We're going to talk lots about that in the next number of weeks. I marvel how, and I've mentioned this before, but I marvel on how many people throw God under the bus all the time. That all storms come from this angry God. Wrong. Dangerous. Listen to me this morning. I hear haunting stories, even this week, in fact, of parents that tell their children something like, if something bad happens, it's God punishing you. It's demented, it's sick, it's gross. God is not punishing you. Somebody say hallelujah, because our God is a glorious God. He is not like that. Or God brought this sickness. No! No! I just yelled. I remember one time someone said, well, you know, God gave me cancer so that I could witness in the hospital. No! Demented, evil, pathetic theories. God will never bring sickness. How cruel. People that grow up in strict, almost abusive religious backgrounds, and we see it. We see it. And then now they want nothing to do with God. Hello? No wonder. I wouldn't either if God was a big, angry bully. How many people here watch The Shack? Remember that? The dad that would just get out the strap and talk about how I'm an agent from God to discipline you. And sick. Sick. And here we go. Poor misconceptions aside, and I want to just now land with this. Storms do come from God. Now, here we go. Are you ready for this? If, indeed, storms do come from God, that there are truths that you must know. Number one is this. I like the other time where the little one said that the pastor was funny. Remember that a few weeks ago? He's so funny. I liked that. That was fun. Oh, well. Now, I got good news, church. And he holds the universe. And he holds every one of us. Oh, he holds. He's a good God. He's rich in mercy. And he's mighty. And he's glorious. And he directs the path of the righteous. And he's in charge. And he rules with majesty and power. There's none beside. There is none greater. He is the Almighty God. Trust in him. No, Almighty and good. Like, how do you do that? Almighty and good. Everything he does is good. Everything he does is for our good. And he gives good gifts. And he wants our success. And he wants the best for us. Did you know? Listen to me. Listen. God wants everyone in this room successful. How's that, Tam? Is that good? Listen. God wants everyone in this room successful. 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Everyone.
No, oh, no, me, maybe them, but not me.
Lie.
Well, you know, I'm just eking out an existence. They're going to have everything, but I'm nothing. I'm a worm.
Lie. Come on. He's good. He's good. He's got good stuff in store. And we're gonna find out today how. Today is the definitive day you're going to find out how. You didn't know today was going to be this good, did you? Today you're going to find out how. All right, we're going to have a Bible study now. We're going to look at the Word. We're going to study the Word. And the Word's going to come alive today. I am so excited. I've been jazzed since Tuesday night. Monday was a wreck, but Tuesday was fantastic. When the Bible clearly says the storm is from God. Have I qualified this enough now? Do you know he's a good God? Do you know he's fantastic? Do you know he's got the best for you? Okay, now, here we go. But when the storm does come from God, clearly denoted in the Bible. Now, please turn in your Bible or in your e-Bible or in your phone. We're going to journey, and it's actually going to be a navigating script through the book of Jonah. I'll just wait here until everyone's there. See, with these electronic things, it's all silent now. See, that's not even right. Anyway, Jonah. It's a minor prophet. Jonah. I want you to read along with me. We're going to have all the scriptures here, but I want you to read along with me. So find Jonah. It's one of the very last minor prophets in the Old Testament. Now, it's a small 4-chapter book in the Bible with tons of application written by the minor prophet Jonah. Now, liberal theologians deem it as fable, nothing more than historic folklore, where you might be able to draw something from its sweet little parable, but nothing more. Well, I'm here to declare that this is fact, it's truth, it happened. Everyone knows Jonah and the whale, don't you? How many people grew up and you remember Jonah and the whale? Like, hello? Actually, all the versions say Jonah and the big fish. Never says Jonah and the whale. But you know, that's the story. But I got good news for you. This ain't no once upon a time in a faraway land. Once upon a time, children, let's read this little story. Once upon a time in a faraway land lived a little man that got swallowed up by a fish. It's actually happened, hasn't it, Ryan? It actually has happened. People have been swallowed by whales and have lived 2-3 days. They're white and their bodies are pretty gross, but they have lived. Live to tell the story. And you can learn from this truth. Here we go. First verse in Jonah 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah. This is from God. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its vulgar wickedness has come up before me. One version says, it's like a stench to my nostrils. It is awful. It was a vulgar place practicing sins beyond description. Now, that is truth. This next sentence is equally a truth. God loves gross, evil, sinful people. God has a plan to bring healing to gross, sinful, undeserving people, just like you and just like me. Everyone in this room is incapable of deserving God's love. It is benevolent. It is gracious. It is undeserving. That's why they call it mercy. Mercy. Here's the problem. Oh, we're going to have some fun with this. Are you ready for some fun? Nobody in this room is ready for fun. Okay. Tough crowd. Here's the problem. Often our resistance and our stubbornness gets in the way. Is there anyone, not a show of hands, please, but think of it. Anyone in the room stubborn? Every hand would have to go up if we were honest. Now watch this. Now, can it get any more bold? Can it get any more clear? This is right out of the Bible. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from Jesus. went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went to the port of Joppa. I was actually there. When I went to Israel, I actually went to the port of Joppa. Kind of make it cool when you actually say, there it is. There's the place. That's where Peter had the vision. That's where Jonah was running from Jesus, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord. This is what the Bible says. Hoping to escape from God. Anyone like that here? Somewhere long, long ago in a faraway land, there was a people that tried to run away from God. Remember one time I was leading. I have never told this story before, Tam. One time I was leading a study at a high school. That's why I love campus work. Where are you? Love campus work. Anyway, so I saw one of these young people, one of the youth that I recognized from the church. I wasn't the youth pastor. I was just going to Desert Stream, and I recognized one of the youth from the church. And I'll never, ever, ever forget what happened. In fact, it's over 20 years ago, and I still remember. So that's why it's wow. I said, hey, Sean, we're having a Bible study, and it's right over there. We're going this way. And he turned and he looked at me with shock and terror, and he said, under his breath, then I'm going that way. Opposite direction. God's going that way. Uh-uh. I'm going that way. Been there, done that. I got good news. 20 years later, 20-ish years later, him and his family are doing great. They're very involved in the church, and all is well. Because sometimes God can get a hold of you, turn things around. Now, in reference to Jonah, I think it's necessary to know that he probably wasn't just rebellious and lazy. And the reason being, he could very well have been, but the biggest thing is that he knew how horrible Nineveh was. And if you read in the latter part of the book, you see him dialoguing and explaining and fussing to God, and he's like, God, I knew it was horrible. I knew it was a terrible place. He knew the cost of the mission, and he knew he could very well lose his life. Now, still disobedience. Even if the real issue is lack of trust, it's still disobedience. Yes? At the end of the book, he explains his excuses. Lame or valid, that's for God to decide. This is my favorite line in the whole sermon. Ready for this? Came up with it Monday. All we need to know is God said no. God said go. He said no. I wrecked it. I'm going to do it again. Just pretend you didn't hear it. God said go, and he said no. Have you ever been like that before? God said go. Go to Sylvan Lake, my children. Move from Belleville and go to Sylvan Lake. No! Until he wrestles us to the mat. Have you ever been wrestled to the mat by God? Anybody in the room? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. You know what's beautiful? What a good God. When God tells us to do something, know this full well. There is provision and there's promise that I'll be with you and I'll give you grace for the journey. If God tells you to do something, there's grace. You can do it. Not you can do it. Jesus can do it. He's just going to use your body. He goes, you obey. Now, here we are. This is the scripture. Now, the storm. We're back to Jonah. Sometimes, in certain situations, when circumstances necessitate it, that's what it says there. God will have to bring a storm to get our attention. Remember, I've given some qualifications already. The reason I know that God will bring storms to some of us some of the time, because it's in the Bible. Now, watch this. Then the Lord, that's Jesus, that's the King, that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break apart. Now, nowadays, God usually doesn't bring actual storms. He could. He can do whatever he wants. But more times than not, it's about him bringing obstacles. Listen to me. This is important. This is the whole essence of the message right here. He brings obstacles. He will frustrate our plans. Isn't that what the Bible says? He will frustrate the plans of man so that his will is accomplished. And he is sovereign, and his will be accomplished. He will use you or he'll use someone else, but his plans will be accomplished. When you're running from God, it feels like you're in 2 feet of thick mud. And you just know. Ugh. Have you ever been there? Ugh. Just your legs are like 500 pounds. And you're against the loving will of God. It's like a resistance from God. You know, we always talk about crashing through the resistance of the enemy. Sometimes it's resistance from God. And again, it's because he's good. What does the Bible say? God, listen to me. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Acts 5:39 basically says, if you're fighting against God, you're fighting a losing battle. If you're fighting against God, you're going to lose. You're losing. You're going to lose. It's a losing battle. Don't fight against God. Work with him. March with him. Walk with him. Next verse. Verse 5. Whew. Oh, the treasury in here. Oh, my. You could take any of these verses and you could do 3 or 4 sermons. The treasury of these words. All the sailors were afraid. I find that interesting. Sailors, all they've ever known is water and storms, but they're afraid. And each cried to his own God, the God of their own imagination, the God of their own teaching. They cried out to their own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Isn't it just like us to try to remedy situations in our own power? Or am I the only one? Remedy situations in our own power, our own ideas, our own ingenuity. And I love the next line. And Jonah, he's down below, and he fell fast asleep. Remember that show, Tammy, we were watching the show yesterday with snoring. He's gone. He's out cold. Now, why is he fast asleep? Well, probably a couple of reasons. One is, what else is he going to do? He's not ready to come clean yet. He's not ready to admit yet. So he's fast asleep. Second reason I think he's fast asleep is he's probably exhausted from all of the guilt. Has anyone been harassed by guilt? Now, I'm not talking about just to do something bad, feel guilty. That's little guilt. And God brings guilt. Just so you know. No, he doesn't. He brings conviction. It's guilt. Trust me, it's guilt. It's good guilt, but it's guilt. If you didn't have guilt, there's a good chance no one in this room, there'd be no one in this room because of the good God guilt that draws people. Okay, call it conviction. If you need to call it conviction, that's fine. Now, then there are times, definitive times, and I've got at least one of them. And be curious to know if anyone else in this room has had this. Oh, I got to move fast. Got to move. Okay. There's times, protracted times, long protracted times of guilt from God. There's no denying it. There's no relief. He doesn't let up. and it's constant. He's constantly on you. That sense that just it's God and his pressure, his weight is on you because he loves you. Let's be honest. We know. Let's be honest. Come on, church. Let's be honest. You know if it's from God or not. Like, really? Come on. You know if it's from God or not. Just ask the prodigal son. You know, if it's a storm or if it's he's chasing you down and you're running faster and he runs faster, you can't outrun God. He can do the 4-3 in 40-yard dash or whatever it is. You can't outrun God. A storm from God or he chases you down, doesn't matter. The prodigal, he was broken, running away from his father. Now, this actually happened to me one time. We're just starting in Belleville. I was the youth pastor of Calvary Temple. We were there about 4 months, and this was the very first time in my life I had a paid week vacation. A paid week vacation. First time in my life. I was always in commission sales, so no worky, no eaty. But you know what? That's fine. And then all of a sudden, I have this week off, and I got this headspace. I didn't even ask Tammy, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to Columbus, Ohio. We're going to drive to Columbus, Ohio, and I'm going to do this down memory lane thing. And I'm going to, yeah, true story, and I'm going to go see where my dad lived, and I'm going to relive something, and I'm going to see something, and I'm going to just have this moment of I remember when. So, of course, it's about a week, and there were some very prophetic people in our church, and one person didn't know anything and just came to me and was praying for me and said, Todd, this is weird, but I just feel God saying you don't have to go there, and there's nothing there for you. Hate that. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever, yeah, stop talking. Yeah, you're doing this? I need you to do this. Anyway, so then all of a sudden, we're on our way. Yeah, you don't understand. I'm going to go. And we're driving along, and it was November, so I thought, well, it's Ohio. It's southern Ohio. It's probably going to be like 15, 18 degrees, 20 degrees. Maybe we'll even swim. Who knows? So we're driving along, and it's ice, rain the entire trip. 9, 12, 15 hours of ice, rain, unrelenting ice, rain all the way. It was horrible. And God is the farther I get away from home and the farther I go to Tarshish, it was the more I was feeling awful and yucky. I couldn't shake it. I couldn't do anything. No relief. And this is our first trip, I think, without the kids. They were with us, yeah. They were just terrified in the back going, please make it stop. Please make it stop. There you go. Anyway, exactly. We get there, and it's miserable, cold, rainy weather the whole week. Tammy got to one lousy mall once. Okay? One mall. No mall. Okay, no mall. Anyway, so. La, 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 la. Anyway, she hates me for a week. Laser beams. I hate you. I will get you back for this. And then the trip was even more fun going home. More pressure, more harassment by God. That was the vacation of our lives. You should have read it on Facebook. It was beautiful. There was no social media. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, in closing, it's happened. And I literally know. I remember under my breath, I remember, not a word of a lie, under my breath, I'm going, Jesus, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have chased down something that isn't there. I'm sorry. I beg for your forgiveness. Please release this weight of guilt. I get home, and I'm like, okay, I learned my lesson. I'm not going to do that again. At least it gave me a sermon. Hallelujah. Now, God works out all things for good. Praise the name of Jesus. Jonah knew the storm was from God because of his disobedience. Back to Jonah. Jonah knew the storm was from God because of his disobedience. Todd knew the storm was from God because of his disobedience. Someone else in this room knows the storm's from God because of their disobedience. But even in his confession, and he's testifying and he's confessing in a backslidden state. Can you imagine? He's testifying in a backslidden state, and God still uses it for his glory. Oh my, isn't that our Jesus? Now, listen to this. This is verses 6 to 10. I'm going to help navigate through this. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots. I always love that cast lots thing. Just roll dice. Like, really? To see which had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Right out of the scripture. Gotcha. Gotcha. Wouldn't want to be ya. "Why has this awful storm come down from us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What are you? Why are you doing this? What is your line of work? What is your country? Where are you from? What's your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord." You can just see the shift. I'm caught. Might as well make this thing right. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them that he was running away from God. Next verse. "Why? Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. "Why?" And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" "Throw lots of money at me and let me have an easy life." Hallelujah. No. "Throw me off the boat." This is not like walking off the plank or whatever, you know. "Throw me off the boat," Jonah said, "and it will become calm immediately." Listen to me. "For I know the terrible storm is all my fault." For I know the terrible storm is all my fault. All my fault. Everyone say, all my fault. All my fault. Has there ever been a time in your life where it was all your fault? Never. It's their fault. Now, worship team, come on up here. We're almost done. Woo, isn't this good? Isn't this good? Own it. Make it right and watch what happens. Write that down. Put that in your phone. Own it. Make it right and watch what happens. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship on land. And it worked, and everyone lived happily ever after. No. Again, our own ingenuity, trying to do it in our own way. Get this. You got to get this. This is huge. But the storm was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. And they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. They went from crying out to their own gods that didn't work, and now they're crying out to Jonah's God. And they prayed, "Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold this us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for good reason." Sailors picked up Jonah, threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped immediately. And the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. And they offered sacrifices and bowed before him. we would say this in modern vernacular, they came to God. When from foreign cults, foolishness, they surrendered lives to God. Signs and wonders. The world loves signs and wonders. The world needs signs and wonders. God is still blowing people away. Let's continue in closing. Then the word of the Lord came to Nineveh a second time. I like that. Everyone say second time. Second time. Thank you. Aren't you glad for second chances? Is anybody thankful for second chances? Is anyone thankful for 400th chances? Our God, He gives second chances. He gives 20th chances. He gives me about 15 or 20 chances a week. I squish you, Todd. I squish you like a bug. No, no, no. He loves me. I don't know why, but He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stand up with me, church. Keep those that screen on, please. Stand up with me, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim a message. And God obeyed this time the word of the Lord, and He went. And God obeyed this time. You know what? You know what the good news is? You know what to do when God brings a storm? Obey! You know what? You know what to do when God brings a storm? Obey. The results of obedience. People get saved, and God gives second chances. Oh, come on. Somebody say this is good preaching.
Barn burner.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Now I know why the enemy was harassing me and Tammy on Friday, and why God was, or the enemy was harassing me on Saturday, because he didn't want this stuff. Phew. Now, oh, Lord, when the storm comes from God, it'll never be a storm of sickness, ever. Now, I'm going to qualify that. Can God use it? Absolutely. But if you smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day and die of lung cancer, it ain't from God. Just saying. Storms from God are for our own good, and they keep us from harm, and they get us back on track. And the storm of God, if the storm is from God, the only recourse is
obey.
If the storm is from God, the only recourse is oh, God. And there's mercy. Mercy. Mercy.
Hope is built on nothing less.
Mercy.
Than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Hey, mercy. Yeah.
I dare not trust the sweetest phrase.
No, no.
But wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Cornerstone. Oh.
Christ alone.
Right here. There's going to be some confession happening over the next 3-4 weeks. You know what? You know how you get healed? Confess your sins. You know how you get healed? Confess your sins. If anybody wants prayer this morning, we're going to sing this 14 more times. Because that's what a charismatic church does. They sing the chorus 14 times. Hallelujah. Anyway, if you want prayer, this is a safe place. This is a safe place. Anybody wants prayer, come on up here, and then we are going to close. We'll be out of here. We'll be drinking coffee by 12 o'clock. Spirit of Jesus, maybe someone's surrendering to Jesus today. Yeah, come on. Someone's surrendering to Jesus today. Someone's surrendering to Jesus today.
Oh,
Of the counsel of our King right now. My dad died when I was 21. I was a brand new husband. I was a brand new dad. And I was scared. And my dad was gone. Died of a brain tumor. Gone. Right in those formative years where I needed dad. And I guess in some way I was chasing down something. I was chasing down some sort of thing that just made me feel close to him. The message was, son, I'll be your all-sufficient one. I'll be your answer. Don't look to shadows. Don't look to shadows. I will be your all in all. I will be your all in all. Don't look to shadows. I will be your all in all. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord. We've been hearing for 3-4 weeks that this is the definitive new day. It's a new day of establishment. It's a new day of declaration. It's a new day that we're emerging. We're emerging into everything that God has for us. But you know what? We're listening to God. We're not running from God. We're taking hold of God. We're owning our stuff. We're making it right. And we're going to watch and see what happens. Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it.
Who can stop the Lord?
Hey!
You're the lion and the lamb. It's your grace, it's your mercy. Lord, that changes us, that brings to light what's in the darkness.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?
Yes.
Matchless love and beauty in this world.
Yes, yes.
For nothing in this world can satisfy. You're the cup that won't run dry.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me.
Yes, it is, Jesus.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful.
Yes, you are, Jesus.
Redeemer of my past and present wrongs. You're the holder of my future days to come. Your presence is here. Jesus, you are the cup that won't run dry. Jesus, you are. Jesus. presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. Yes, it is.
We are standing here singing about Jesus' presence after really a great sermon on the storms that come into our life. I could have this picture of people that are standing almost paralyzed, trying to see the path in front of them. And Jesus tells us, the Bible tells us that his word is a light to our path, right? A lamp to our feet. But he doesn't tell us that you're going to have a clear, moon-filled night where you can see 3 miles in front of you. He tells us there's a light to your path, a lamp to your feet. You can take a step and, oh, look, there's another lamp. There's a light to your feet. And I think there are people here that are feeling paralyzed by the storms that have hit them in their life behind them that they're afraid are going to come again. Or the storm that might be around the corner that they can't see because their lamp only goes one step in front of them. And I just want to tell you, yeah, there's storms. Like Pastor Todd said, there's storms. But you take that step. And then, oh, look, there's another step. And I just want to tell you, don't be paralyzed by your past storms or your future storms. Take each step that's in front of you in faith that God is with you. Jonah didn't know when he got thrown off the ship that he wasn't going to die. He thought he was going to die. He took the step that was in front of him. And then the next step. And after 3 days of steps, he got thrown up onto dry land. But he didn't know that. Take the step in front of you. God will be with you in the storm or out of the storm.